Good evening, everyone. I wasn't sure if I'm going to be here tonight. The gynae said Liana could have been in labor 10 days ago, so she can go any moment now. So if you see someone running up to the front, then you know. I'm going to just call up Manus, give him the mic, and then we're going to be off. That's just a joke. But in any case, it's a exciting time for us. Little Evan's almost here, and we're hoping for him to be soon. Yes, soon. He must come very, very soon. Not soon as in the next hour, but soon. All right, so this evening, afternoon, I want to share with us a message that the Lord just laid on my heart, and you'll see up on the screen, the tagline says that you cannot get to where God wants you without the people He sends you. So you cannot get to where God wants you without the people He sends you. And that speaks of covenant. And it's not about not about knowing that there's people that you want to utilize to get to where you want. In other words, it's not about using people, but it's about us coming together, realizing, but listen here, it's not about me having my calling and you having your calling and, you know, we're going to bounce off each other. No, it's about us having a calling together. All right? And I think the church has heard enough that you've got a calling. I think the church must hear we've got a calling. I think that's really so important and a shift. And I think it's something that's just been speaking to the leaders the past week about this thing. And I think it's something that's in all of our hearts. It's just the practicalities of let's get this thing together. So that's what this evening is about. And interestingly, if you look at the country and quickly show me your left thumb print. Okay, for the ladies, it'll be gone because the ladies will already fix the nails and it's off. Megan, is it off? No, it's not off. Okay, you voted. Great. Okay, I'm glad to see now all the Zimbabweans and the Namibians, they're sitting here and they said, but I interceded. Hey, Lindiwe, hey, I prayed. I voted in the spirit. when we talk about covenant, and we're going to look, let's quickly read that scripture before we go on. Next slide, Jenny, please. Okay. For we have become fellows with Christ. That word fellows means friends. Okay, we have become fellows with Christ the Messiah and share in all He has for us. If only we hold our first newborn confidence and original assured expectation firm and unshaken to the end. And that expectation means in virtue of which we are believers. Okay, we're going to come back to that scripture. But I think for a lot of Christians, we don't necessarily understand that verse. Because, you know, that verse is what we call covenant speak. Okay, so you're not really going to understand that verse unless you understand what covenant is. You see, God comes to Abraham. I enjoyed your offering message, Kenny. It was brilliant. We're all sons of Abraham. And what that means is it means that we are covenant people. Because God comes to Abraham and He says, Abraham, I relate to you in a specific way, and that way is friend. Okay? But we don't really understand what God means when He says friend. Because when God says friend, He means covenant. Okay? Means it's not just a casual acquaintance. You know, I'm not just going to appear to visit Abram and then leave. No, He's committed to Abram, not just His own life, but till now, God has still been committed to Abram and to the covenant that He made Abram. Because God, what He did with Abram is He made, and you know, I've been doing lots of weddings, lots of people getting married in the church, and that's brilliant. You know, and covenant, the amazing thing about covenant is it's forever. Okay? It's you cannot stop covenant, because what God comes with Abram and He does is You see, and there's a whole thing, and you can come to Bible school if you want to go into the technicalities. We're not going to do that tonight. But he cuts covenant with Abram, but he doesn't make the covenant. He makes it actually with himself. All right? Kenny can tell you a bit more about that. But, you know, he cuts covenant with himself because he knows Abram is unable to meet the standards of this covenant. Abram's not able to do it, so God cuts that covenant with himself. He makes that covenant and he commits himself to that purpose. So there's something that we don't understand. When God says friend, he doesn't mean someone that we like or a casual acquaintance or someone that we've got lots of interest with. He thinks, when God thinks of friendship, he thinks of covenant. You know, there's something eternal about this relationship. And we're going to talk about that a bit tonight. But coming back to where I was, for some other reason, the church today is not getting this right. And I said a couple of weeks ago, if you look at the gay agenda, the gay movement, I mentioned a study that was done in the United States. And they found, they went to lots of people and they asked them, how many people in America do you think is gay? And most, the average that they found that people thought was between, the people said that between 30 and 40% of people in the United States is gay. All right? And then the actual stats, if they looked a bit closer, is close to around 1.7%. Okay, so you guys remember I said that earlier. But such a minority group gets it right to be so vocal and so influential that everyone thinks they're almost 50% of the voice. Isn't that, that's astounding to me. Okay? Then if you think of, you know, feminism and, you know, other minority groups, and we haven't even been speaking about, you know, secret societies and what secret societies does and, you know, what they get right, a little group of people. But something these groups of people understand that the Church of Jesus Christ has sort of completely missed. They understand covenant. Whereas the church is supposed to understand covenant more than everyone, because covenant is made possible through God. Amen? And another thing that's very interesting is South Africa is a 70%, at least 70% Christian. Okay, we knew that stat. Okay, it's a stat, but you don't see the influence of the 70% Christians in the country. Do you guys agree with me? Okay, so there's a massive lack of understanding of what covenant is and covenant means. And I've been reading a book that Kenny, by the way, we're busy with a revival library, or building up a revival library. Lindy was getting excited. So if you've got any books that you want to donate, or you know, we've got a bit of a budget for that. Someone sponsored a bit of a budget. So we're building a bit of a revival library. If you know of any books, please recommend. And, you know, we want to make it available to the church. So if you want to come and sort of borrow one of these books, then you're welcome to. But we want to study that. And I've been reading one of the books, one of those books called The Forgotten Revival. And it talks about the revival that happened here in Cape Town in the 1860s, which Andrew Murray was part of. And actually, Kenny just reminded me before the service that the place where the revival broke out was in a church where there wasn't a pastor. For some other reason, the pastor, you know, was delayed, and he was supposed to be transferred to that church. And he, for a couple of months, they were without a pastor. And that's the exact church where revival started breaking out. People just started worshiping. And, you know, when a pastor visited there, actually Andrew Murray, when he visited there, he saw, listen, here's revival happening already, you know. And there wasn't even a pastor. So I think I'm going to go away for a couple of months, you know, and then we're going to have revival. But I think it's just something interesting, something about God's heart and something about covenant that is in that. Actually, what's amazing, and I've just been looking at, you know, just revival and what are the things that builds up, because there's a It's a very Calvinistic way that people interpret revival. You'd maybe, if you've read or if you think interested in revival, then you'd notice a lot of people say it's a sovereign act of God. You know, and it's very much a sovereign act and you can't say anything about it. And of course, it is a sovereign act of God. And people very strongly emphasize it wasn't done by man. It was done by God alone. And, you know, there's a very strong, but the thing is, and we don't argue that, but if that is over, if the sovereignty of God in that sense is overemphasized, then what role do we have to play? You know, then it brings people into a state of, you know, just complacency or apathy. You know, God must make it happen. And that couldn't be further from the truth. And something I found very interesting in this revival that happened in Cape Town, or in the Cape, was that there were four guys that were leaders to this revival, and they very honest, you know, in their writings afterwards, after the revival, how they were struggling as pastors of little churches, and how really very normal they were. And then, you know, at a stage, they were the leaders of this massive move of God in Cape Town, in the Cape. And these four people were Andrew Murray, John Murray, Jan Neertling, and Nicholas Hofmeyr. But the interesting thing is, if you look at the history, how these four guys actually had covenant relationship. They decided, because now remember at that time, you know, you were very isolated if you lived in Graaf Reinet or Worcester or one of these, you know, farm places. You know, you were out there, or, you know, on your own as a pastor. But these guys made an effort. They said, we're going to be covenant brothers. We're going to relate to each other. We're going to contact each other. We're going to support each other. We're not going to do this thing in the natural. And I think, and if I look at revivals, I think that is one of the key ingredients, is people understanding covenant. Look at this, what Andrew Murray says. And please note the date of this. He says in 1898, one of the words of Scripture which is almost going out of fashion is the word covenant. I find that very funny, that in the 1800s or late 1800s, he says it's out of fashion. You know, what about today? All right. Then he goes on, he says, there was a time when it was the keynote of the theology of the Christian life in strong and holy men. We know how deep in Scotland it entered into the national life and thought. There was a revival in Scotland as well. It made mighty men to whom God and his promise and power were wonderfully real. Now, I think the Church of Jesus Christ is always, also today, there's a lot of things that is popular. And I think we must, as the church, move away from what is popular and what is fashionable to what is eternal. I've just noticed that in church today, there's a lot of things, you know, if it happens in America, then it becomes popular here. You know, if it's in Bethel, then it's popular. You know, it's fashionable. But we must move away from what is fashionable to what is eternal. And we must commit ourselves to the things that is eternal. Not if it's cool or if it looks cool, but because God has instituted it. Then Fred says, next slide, before Jesus returns, covenant has to again become the next best thing in the Church of Jesus Christ. So often I speak about the fact God is restoring things to his church. This is the thing, that before Jesus comes back, the church has to get. The church doesn't really get this, then we're not gonna move forward. Now, something interesting, Liana's been playing with Malaya and teaching her how to do things with her hands, and she got hold of this magazine, and it's a bit dark there. Okay, but that's Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. All right. Now, Malaya pointed to Angelina Jolie and said, "Mama." All right. I have to add that she pointed to Brad Pitt and said, "Papa." But in any case, I want to just use this to illustrate just something. The title says there, can open marriages work? Okay, then it's a little quote from Angelina. It says, I doubt that fidelity is absolutely essential for a relationship. Neither Brad nor I have ever claimed that living together means to be chained together. We make sure that we never restrict each other. Now, I don't know about you, that on the one side it's hectic, on the other side that describes society. That's our society, or at least the Western society and secular ways of thinking works today. But, you know, in a way, we all like, wow, that's really bad, you know. But in a way, she just doesn't know better. You know, she just doesn't really know what covenant means or what marriage really is about. Because you know what? Marriage is really not about two people. Marriage is about two, and I love saying this. I've been saying it at all the weddings. It's about husband, wife, and Jesus Christ. The covenant, the amazing thing about marriage is that God is as more committed than the two people. And that's so amazing. You know, at every wedding I get so excited about this because I realize, listen, there's two people standing here, but there's a third party that is overwhelmingly committed and powerful to this covenant. And the purpose of marriage is not the two people, it's about God's glory. It's about God getting revealed. So, you know, I don't blame Angelina because she doesn't know. She doesn't understand. She doesn't get this. Marriage was never intended to be between two people. But marriage is intended so that God's glory can be revealed. The amazing thing is if you're in a marriage, in a covenant, then you go, and if it's tough and there's a fight or whatever, you can always go to God and you can say, God, you are the third party. You are the most important. I need you to come and help me. And you know what? I don't know if you realize, but all of us sitting here, we're in covenant. All of us here, in this, if you're a member of this church, then we are in covenant with each other. All right, then I'm going to trust them. Not a heart shift, because I think it's something that you and I desire in our hearts, but just the understanding and a culture shift that we embrace tonight. Now look at this, again, what Andrew Murray says. Actually, I wrote 3 books on this topic. Just, again, thought it's interesting in the context of revival. He wrote 3 books about covenant. If you take the covenant and speak of it as God could enable you to speak, I think that would be the quickest way the Lord could take to make His church wake up to the power He has put in our hands in giving us a covenant. I would be so glad if you would tell God's people that they have a covenant. Now, quickly, I want to just go through what is covenant, because it's now this word and we talk about it in Christians. But what does the Bible mean when it talks about covenant? I want to give us a quick definition. The biblical definition is it's an irrevocable mutual pledge or commitment between two parties. Traditionally, covenant is a strong friendship between two persons. Whenever the Bible talks about a friend, it refers only to covenant brothers. And there's various scriptural references there. Covenant involved promise, commitment, faithfulness, and loyalty, even to the point of death. Like I mentioned earlier, the covenants in the Old Testament, the Bible, it was only at the point of death was that covenant nullified. As I said, I'm not going to go into the technical details. Covenant was not entered into lightly. It was considered to be a very sacred act. In biblical times, a man was only as good as his word, and his word was his covenant agreement. The word that Paul, Peter, and the apostles preached was Jesus. It was their covenant agreement with Jesus Christ that they shared with others. People entered into covenant with each other for protection and profit. Because the two were made one, the strength of the stronger one became the strength of the weaker. Now, I don't know if you caught that last line. The strength of the stronger becomes the strength of the weaker. Now, I don't know if you get excited when you hear that, because if you realize, but now the stronger is Christ. He's the stronger party, because once again, that principle stands. If we in covenant with one another, yeah, it means that Christ is part of that covenant. It means like a marriage, like a husband and wife can go to God, say, God, listen, you know, we're not meeting each other's hearts here. We're not finding each other. There's this conflict and we cannot resolve it. God, come and help. The married people, you know, God is faithful. He does it. He speaks to us and He fixes it, you know. And the same is the case. And I think, you know, there's a lot of things that we can grow as the church. And I want us actually specifically four things tonight. I want us to have a shift in our understanding and our view of our relationships. Okay. First one. Is everyone still awake? Are you still with me? Shake someone next to you. Say, you are in covenant with me. You're not going anywhere. Okay. I'll do a quick Marichen. Drink water while everyone's looking at me. Okay. Firstly, 4 points. Just 4 points and we're done for tonight. We're going to take communion. Communion is a symbol of the covenant, of course. We celebrate that covenant that we have with God and with each other. Four things that you need to understand or need to trust that God shows you about covenant. The first one is covenant changes the way we look at people. Okay? The people around you, quickly look around you. Okay? Covenant changes the way that you look at that person. Because now suddenly that person, because the world and humanism goes and he looks at someone and we look at people and we say, are you going to have any benefit to me? You know, the world talks about networking. You know, I'll network with you if there's maybe a benefit that I can get from you. So I connect with you if there's benefit. Whereas the kingdom, that's not covenant. We don't connect with someone because there's a benefit. Okay? Ironically or coincidentally, there is a benefit. There's a massive, massive blessing that we're going to look at now. But that's not why we enter into that covenant. We enter because of obedience and because of love. But now, covenant changes the way we look, because now suddenly the person that's sitting next to me is not just a casual acquaintance. It's not just someone that on Sunday I come and I quickly greet and then I go off and again I have other relationships. No. This relationship is different because there's a covenant. And suddenly when I realize, and for me this has been a journey and a discovery that I'm still going through, but suddenly I'm looking different at people, knowing that, listen, this relationship is an eternal relationship. So if you move on and I move on, that doesn't end the eternal purpose. It still goes on. So it changes the way that we look at people. And I've just realized some people that I've sort of let go, I realize that I've still got a covenant commitment to that person and him to me. And I had to go back to a couple of people. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 19, no longer then do we judge anyone by human standards. Even if at one time we judged Christ according to human standards, we no longer do so. Anyone who is joined to Christ is a new being. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is done by God, who through Christ changed us from enemies into his friends and gave us the task of making others his friends also. So, in other words, no longer do we look at people with judgment. No longer do we look and we see, but listen, you've got that issue and that thing and you're from that race and you're from that background. But we see, like Scripture says, Christ. We see that that person is a potential friend, or not a potential, a friend. If they know God, they're a friend of Christ. And remember what I said about friendship, how God sees friendship. So it changes the way that we interact. It changes the way that you and I go to small group. Because now all of a sudden the people that we go to small group, it's not just the little group that we mix with in church. No, it's a group. And the amazing thing, and this is what we really need to understand about covenant, is that we are here together for a purpose. We take hands together. And it's sad, but the church needs to look at, you know, institutions and other people that get it right better than the church. Okay? With those groups take hands and they affect change. But we need to come to a place where we as the church affect change. And Pastor Fred, a couple of, is it about a year or two ago now, we were talking about the closed circle. And that, once again, is covenant speak. The fact that we're all here together, we're in it together. If one struggles, then yes, we must help. If one business, you know, in the church struggles, then we must take hands to get things right. That is what covenant implies. The second thing, that the first one is the way we look at people. Secondly, covenant changes the way we order our lives. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 16. No longer then do we judge anyone by human standards. Even if at one time we judge Christ according to... No. That was the first scripture. Sorry, Philippians 2 verse 3. Do nothing from factional motives through contentiousness, strife, selfishness, or for unworthy ends, or prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. Instead, in the true spirit of humility, let each regard the others as better than and superior to himself. Other translation says, esteem each other higher than yourself. And what that means, it doesn't mean we must now, you know, become falsely humble. I'm the worst, you are the best. You know, that's not what scripture means. What that esteem means, it means simply to take someone's desire and their needs and what God has placed on their lives and put it above your desires. That's what esteeming each other higher means. Right? So it talks about a place where we order, where we prioritize the way we do things according to not just what we have in our hearts, not just what we have, and maybe sometimes our calling even. But sometimes we must say, God, but show me the calling on other people's lives so that I can esteem that higher, so that I can celebrate that person's calling higher than mine, because that is what covenant means. That is what God's desires. And for some of us, this is really important because we need to learn, and it's a thing that I'm also learning, we need to learn to say no better. Because you know what? If you say yes to the wrong things, it means that you're saying no to other things. So if you struggle, some of us are better with this, some of us are worse, but if you always say yes, that implies that you're saying no at the same time. And often it happens that you say no to the important things because you've said yes to other things. So what is really important in the way that we order our lives is to come and say, Lord, but what are the really important things? Okay? What is that thing that I'm going to say yes to? And by implication, the 10 things that come before me, I'm going to say no to. All right? Ask the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord, say, what are the things that I need to say no to so that I can say yes to the right things? Okay? And in God's eyes, God's priorities, that is covenant. The things that are covenant is the things that you say yes for. Okay? Because that's how God functions. That's how He works. So the casual acquaintance or the person that you network gets a no in God's eyes. I don't know if I'm making sense here. But God looks through covenant and he only honors covenant. Okay? So that's how we approach things. And the other thing about the way we order our lives is accountability. And of course, a covenant means that there's accountability in our relationships. All right? And that is so important. That is so important. And in looking at Andrew Murray and these guys' lives, they chose to be accountable, even though it was impractical. They made the decision. I want to make a statement today. If you don't have accountability, it's because you don't want accountability. So if you're sitting here and you say, but I don't have anyone that wants to keep me accountable. I don't have an accountability partner. It's because you don't want to. Because you know what? God will give you someone. So either you don't like the people that He places in your life to speak into your life, or you don't want that, or you're not interested in having some people. But what so struck me about Andrew Murray and these guys, they purposefully, intently made a massive effort to have people speaking into their lives. To say, listen, what's happening here, or what's wrong here? Let's talk about this. People that will say the right things and the straight things that you don't want to hear. So often, you and I, we don't want accountability because, and especially the people that God gives us, because especially that person, Lord, He says the hard stuff. You know, He offends me every time. That's exactly what you need. That's exactly what God has purposed for you. And that's why He sends you, gives you that person over and over. And some of us must make a peace with it. That's the person that God has given to speak into my life. The third point. Covenant gives the ability to have grace. And this is really amazing. Hebrews 3. God also bound Himself with an oath, so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that He would never change His mind. So God has given us both His promise and His oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is important for, it's impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to Him for refuge can take new courage, for we can hold onto His promise with confidence. Covenant to God is firstly, when God comes to us, it's about persuading us. So when we take again Abram, he comes to Abram and he says, Abram, I'm going to convince you that I'm committed to you. I'm going to persuade you. I'm going to commit myself completely to you till death, till the blood flows. That's actually what literally covenant means, till the blood flows. Okay, that's why Jesus, when He made the new covenant, His blood had to flow because He instituted a covenant. Okay, and the technicalities once again at Bible school. So God makes that covenant, but he persuades us. He brings us into a place of such a security. We in this thing, this agreement, this contract that is much more deep than a contract. But I'm not going to leave you in this contract. I'm not going to leave you in this covenant. I'm going to commit myself and I cannot lie. I cannot go against my word. So God does that and He commits Himself to us. And in the same way, like I said earlier, it's like with the marriage. God is committed to that covenant. So for us, and when it comes to our relationships, it's that place where we can say, but listen, we're making this covenant, we're in this covenant towards each other, we're in this relationship, but now, if there's something wrong on one of the parties, maybe someone offends the other one, guess what? God is in that relationship. God can come like that marriage, and He can come and fix us and bring us together. And for me, I don't know about you, but this to me is such a liberating place. Because you know what? People are imperfect. That's what's amazing about this fact of grace. People are imperfect. People will make mistakes. They will hurt you. They will offend you. And at the same time, they'll be covenant people with you. But this is where God is so amazing. Because you and I can have grace on that person's life. For me, so many times I could go to God and say, God, listen, this person has offended me. I want to walk away. But I'm going to give it into Your hands. And I'm not going to be angry. I'm not going to avenge myself. I'm not going to fix this person. I'm going to step away. I'm going to give grace to that person because I know that You are committed to this relationship. And I'm going to step away. I'm not going to fix it. I ask You, Lord, come and fix this relationship. And it's amazing. If you want to see the supernatural, pray this prayer. Pray that the relationship, the covenant relationships that God has given you, that He will come and fix and you step away. Or if this is just a principle, if someone offends you or hurts you, bring them to God and just step away and see how God intervenes. The Bible says that when someone hurts you, offends you, forgive them and give them over to your Father. And by doing so, what you do is you heap coals over their head. All right? In other words, God takes it into His hands. No longer do you have to be tense about it, need to worry about it. God takes that place. He takes that role. That's how committed He is. The fourth point. This is the exciting one. God, your covenant changes our expectation. Read the scripture at the start. Hebrews 3:14. For we have become fellows with Christ and share in all He has for us. If only we hold our first newborn confidence and original assured expectation firm and unshaken to the end. Covenant produces faith, and covenant is a declaration. Covenant is a declaration of what God will do to and in and for us. Okay, He commits Himself to do that. So when we understand, when we really realize what covenant is, there's the expectation that God builds in our hearts. Because you know what? Scripture says that one can take out 1,000, but 2, 10,000. All right? That's where synergy happens. And if the world can understand it, and some institutions in the world can get it right, how much more must the church get it right? I was just thinking, that's not even talking about the supernatural. I was just thinking, I was walking out here, just a quick tip. Never before you preach, play with a little baby. Messes happen and things happen. So I had to quickly run to the loo. And on the way, I just saw, there's lots of people walking around the venue. And I was just the thought popped into my head, when are we going to believe and put our faith together that people are just going to experience God as they move past this venue? As we worship, people get even, encounters with God, or just get so moved that they want to come and sit here. Actually, this year we've had lots of walk-ins of people just walking into the venue. I don't know, maybe some are here tonight. But when are we going to trust that God's conviction comes powerfully? People are walking around here. Because you know what, that's what His desire is. And the only thing that is missing is the fact that we're not synergizing our faith. The fact that we're not saying, listen, I'm bringing my little bit of faith, because Scripture says everyone's got a portion of faith, and I'm adding it to your faith, and you know what? The sum of the faiths is not equal to this plus this plus this. It's exponential. It's more than exponential when we begin to lock into God's way of thinking, to God's covenant. So we must bring our faith. We must bring our faith to God and say, Lord, as a church, we're not satisfied with just a little church. You know what? And it's just a conviction that God gave me. I didn't come into the ministry to build a little church. That maybe shock you. But I'm not satisfied with that. I didn't go into ministry just because of, a church, getting a group of people together that is happy together. I want to see revival. I want to see Cape Town affected. I want to see UCT affected. I'm going to live, even if it kills me, I want to see this. This is what makes my heart beat, and this is why I do what I do. I could have had a good engineering job, and my wife could have had a good engineering job, and we could have had good average lives if we didn't join the ministry. Liana's laughing. But you know what? That's not what it's about. And I'm not going to settle for anything else than God's revival. Because you know what revival means, and this is where I don't agree with most interpretations of revival. God's revival And C.S. always says this. He says, revival has already happened. It happened 2,000 years ago at the cross. The word revival means to revive. And not to revive people. Because a lot of people think humanistic. They think, you know, revive people. It's not about reviving people. It's about reviving the cross. Revisiting the cross. So we can, in one moment, when we sit here, and I say this often, we can together choose for revival. And we'll have it. But you know what? We don't want it. But we must begin to ask God. Say, God, I want to have revival. I want to revisit the cross. I want to re-encounter the cross. And I want to see you. Can we quickly distribute the elements? Ben, if you guys can come up. We're going to just take the communion and say, God, firstly, I made covenant with you. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never realized, but you're in covenant with God. That covenant, once again, with when we get saved, there's a covenant that gets established. Most of us don't realize it. Or we know it maybe in knowledge, but we don't realize, but this is what happened in the spiritual, because I was connected with Christ forever. I made a covenant with Him. That's why we call the New Testament, we call it the New Covenant. It's a covenant that God had made for us. So we're gonna just re-celebrate that covenant. And then we're also going to ask that God would renew in our hearts the covenant that we have with each other. Maybe some of you, you may be not a member of the church yet. Like Esther said, we've got a membership evening coming up, so you'd want to get to that and also join that membership service so that you can officially, in a celebration, God is into celebration. That's why we're going to celebrate the new people that become members of this church. Because you know what? When you become a member, we commit. We covenant together. The leadership and the people of this church are committed to you. And in the same way, there's that mutual commitment, covenant. And if you don't understand, if you want to maybe talk about it, at Encounter 2, we go through it in more detail. So while they distribute the elements, let's just bring our hearts before God. Father, we invite you, Jesus, invite your Holy Spirit. Thank you that your heart is for covenant, God. And you, Lord, made an eternal commitment to us, God, on the cross. And you will not force anything upon us, Lord, and you will not force any commitment upon us. Not a commitment to you, neither a commitment to other people. But it's a decision that we make, Father. And tonight we want to make decisions, God. Decisions for you and decisions for brothers and sisters that you've placed in our hearts. And for most of us, God, this is a massive step of trust. For most of us, this is very difficult, God. But we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come right now and do a work in our hearts. Even though this commitment of covenant, it takes effort. There's a cost involved. And some of us sitting here, maybe we're scared to make that commitment. Maybe we want to just find out the cost, but there's no way we're going to know what the cost is. But I pray now, God, by your Holy Spirit, that you would come and work it in our hearts and even reveal to us in our spirits, Lord, because we'll never be able to do it. And like Abram, God, we're standing before you, God, and we say, Lord, we're unable, we're incapable. Lord, some of us, I know for myself, I struggle even to keep little commitments sometimes. We struggle with the little things, God. How then can we make this commitment, this thing that is eternal towards each other, Lord. But once again, Holy Spirit, thank you that you are faithful, that you come help us. We ask you now, Lord, that you would come and help us in our need. I want to ask, while every eye is closed, before we're going to take the communion, if you're here and you know your relationship with God, maybe you don't even, you're not in that covenant with God even. Maybe you don't have a relationship, maybe you don't hear His voice. Or maybe you're just far away from Him. You want to come and say, God, I want to renew the covenant that I have with you. If there's anyone like that, won't you just put up your hand? I want to pray for you. If there's anyone here that wants to say, God, tonight I'm coming to you. Thank you for that hand. If there's anyone else, just put up your hand very high. It's between you and God. Thank you for that hand. Is anyone else? You want to say, God, I recognize, because you'll feel that working of the Holy Spirit in your heart. To say, Lord, I surrender, I come to you. I want to know you, and I want to know your covenant. Is there anyone else? Thank you, Lord. I want to just ask that person to be very bold, to quickly stand up and to come out from where you are. I'm going to quickly pray for you. This is the greatest step that you can make. Let's just give this lady a hand. She just comes forward. Let's just stretch out our hands towards her. This is such a precious moment. Father, thank you for Lunga, God. Thank you that she is precious in your sight, God, and that you love her so much, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that to sense your perfect love to her, Father. You love her so much, Lord. And we pray that tonight, Lord, she'd experience it now, Father. She'd experience it in her emotions, God, that you would come and restore, Father, the emotions, God, a responsiveness to you, Father. For many years, I just sense such a dryness, God, such a, Lord, Lord, it's been difficult for her to respond. But, Father, thank you that you come in her emotions tonight and you come and heal her. Thank you for your healing hand towards her, God, that you cover her. Cover her with your love. You bring her to such a place of peace. Thank you for restoring her and renewing her. Of Jesus. Okay, let's just take the elements. Bye. Father, we thank you for your blood, the blood covenant that you made with us, Lord. Thank you that you committed yourself eternally to us, God. We want to celebrate your blood, Lord. We want to celebrate your body that was broken, and to every promise, God, that you have made to us. God, we ask that you would activate our faith tonight. That you would activate our faith, Lord, your commitment to us, God, and your grace towards us, Lord, and your supernatural power towards us, Lord, that you would activate it in our hearts. Just before we take the communion, while every eye is closed, just sense that for some of us, God just needs you to, just for a moment, become honest. If you're struggling to say yes to this, maybe you're struggling with trust, trusting God and trusting people, then before we're going to renew this covenant, I want you to just respond where you're sitting. Just put up your hand while every eye is closed. I'm going to pray for you. You're struggling with that trust, that commitment. I'm going to ask God to come and do a work in your heart. Just to do healing. want you to just raise both your hands. Father, I thank you for every hand that is stretched out to you now. I pray, God, that you would mend hearts, heal hearts, connect hearts to your peace, God, to your rivers of living waters, God. That you would come right now, Lord, and by those rivers of living waters, come and heal, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you mend hearts and that you restore people into relationship, into trusting once again, God. Thank you, God. I pray that you would show your love to every hand raised to you right now. That by your Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, that you would come and pour your love into their hearts. Let's just take the elements.